All right, so you're prepping for the bar exam, huh? Well, you know you can't escape Plessy v. Ferguson. That 1896 Supreme Court case, man, it's huge EE. And we're going to break it down piece by piece so you're totally prepped.
Plus, yeah, that's the one that really cemented the whole separate but equal idea in American law. And that led to, what, decades of Jim Crow segregation? It's one of those cases, well, every lawyer, especially someone about to tackle the bar, needs to understand it completely.
For sure. And we're going deep, not just skimming the surface. We've got legal textbooks, court documents, historical analyses, you name it. We'll get into those little details that might just make all the difference on exam day. Like, do you know that Homer Plessy, the guy who brought this landmark case, was actually 7/8 white?
Oh, yeah, that's right. His racial background was really important to their strategy. They wanted to challenge Louisiana's Separate Car Act. That was the law that made separate train cars for black and white passengers, you know, under that equal but separate idea. The whole case was meant to show how ridiculous that concept really was.
Right. So Plessy, being mostly white, gets on the white train car on purpose and refuses to move to the colored car. Civil disobedience. And that, of course, lands him in court, and the case goes all the way up to the Supreme Court. And here's where it gets really interesting, right? The court, they rule 7-1 in favor of Louisiana. Segregation upheld. But for the bar, you've got to know more than just the outcome. What was the legal reasoning behind that decision?
Well, the way the court interpreted the 13th and 14th Amendments is key here. They said the 13th Amendment, you know, the one that abolished slavery, only prohibited actual slavery, not segregation. A pretty narrow reading, suggesting it was just about owning another person, not about all the ways racial oppression continued after the Civil War.
Okay, but what about the 14th Amendment? The one that guarantees equal protection under the law. Do they just ignore that?
Well, not exactly. They kind of got around it by separating legal equality from social equality. They said the 14th Amendment only guarantees equal treatment under the law, not in, like, social situations.
So basically they're saying that forcing black people to use separate facilities didn't violate their equal protection rights because it wasn't denying them legal rights, just separating them socially.
Yeah, you got it. The court saw separate but equal as a reasonable use of state police power, that idea that states can regulate health, safety, and morals within their borders. And the court, in Plessy, they decided that segregation fell under that power.
Hold on, so they used states' rights to uphold segregation. This case just keeps getting more and more complicated.
Yeah.
You mentioned state police power. Can you explain that a little more? For those of us who haven't, you know, spent years studying constitutional law.
Sure. State police power, it's a broad legal principle that gives states a lot of leeway in regulating stuff within their borders. It's the basis for a lot of state laws we just take for granted. Building codes, traffic laws, public health regulations, all sorts of things.
So the court is essentially saying that Louisiana, under its state police power, could mandate separate facilities for black and white people as long as those facilities were equal.
Exactly. And to justify this, the majority opinion even went so far as to say that segregation didn't automatically mean one race was inferior to the other. One of the most, well, notorious lines from the ruling states, if the colored race feels inferior, it's by their choice, not the law. That quote, it really shows the flawed logic at the heart of Plessy.
Wow. And that decision, it really set the stage for decades of Jim Crow laws all across the South. Okay, so we've seen how the court twisted the 13th and 14th Amendments to justify its ruling. But what specific legal precedents did they cite? That's the kind of detail that could pop up on the bar exam.
That's a great question. The majority opinion, actually, it didn't really rely that much on previous Supreme Court precedents. They leaned more on a few lower court cases and a general sense of what the societal norms were at the time. Mm-hmm. Remember, this is 1896, Reconstruction's over, and the North has mostly given up on racial equality. The court, it reflects that shift in its Plessy decision. It's really a disturbing way to justify a system that, you know, was designed to oppress an entire race of people.
Yeah. It is. But there was one dissenting voice on the court, right, in the midst of all this.
That's right. Justice John Marshall Harlan, he really stood against the majority. And his dissent, it's powerful. He argues for what he calls a colorblind constitution, where the law wouldn't even acknowledge race. It's an important document, not just for, like, its moral stance, but for the legal arguments it makes.
So in a court that was, like, overwhelmingly in favor of segregation, Harlan saw through the separate but equal facade. What were some of his main points?
Well, one thing he pointed out was that the Louisiana law, it wasn't really about keeping white people separate from black people. It was about excluding black people from white spaces. He said that this separation, no matter what they said about equality, created a badge of servitude for Black Americans, which of course went against the 13th and 14th Amendments, which were meant to get rid of the remnants of slavery and make sure everyone was equal.
So he was basically saying that even if the facilities were truly equal, which we know they weren't, the very act of separating people based on race was unequal and harmful. He was way ahead of his time in understanding, you know, the impact of segregation on people.
Exactly. Harleyman predicted that the Plessy decision would just make racial hatred and animosity worse and divide the nation even more. Well, he was right. Jim Crow laws, they got more entrenched, more oppressive in the decades after Plessy.
His words are so powerful, especially that famous line, "Our Constitution is colorblind and neither knows nor tolerates classes among citizens." It's like a blueprint for the fight for racial equality that was to come.
But how did Harlan connect this idea of a colorblind constitution to the 13th and 14th Amendments? What was the legal basis for his argument? Well, Harlan argued that the 14th Amendment was specifically put in place to ensure that Black Americans had full and equal citizenship. He saw the Equal Protection Clause as a powerful tool to fight all kinds of discrimination, not just legal, but social and economic, too. He believed the Constitution should protect people from state-sanctioned segregation, whether it was in train cars, schools, or any other public space.
So, even though Harlan's dissent was a lone voice at the time, it became incredibly influential later on. Didn't his reasoning set the stage for later civil rights victories, like Brown v. Board of Education?
Absolutely. Brown v. Board, the case that finally overturned Plessy in 1954, was deeply rooted in Harlan's dissent. The court in Brown finally recognized what Harlan had argued all those years earlier, that separate facilities are inherently unequal, especially when it comes to education. Brown acknowledged that segregation created a sense of inferiority that was harmful to Black children and violated their right to equal protection under the law.
Okay, so if Plessy solidified the separate but equal doctrine and led to Jim Crow, how did Brown v. Board manage to overturn it almost 60 years later? What changed? Was it just changing social norms, or were there specific legal arguments that became more accepted?
The legal landscape definitely changed, and Harlan's dissent played a big part in that. In the decades between Plessy and Brown, there were quite a few legal challenges to segregation. And these cases chipped away at the separate but equal doctrine, showing that segregated facilities were inherently unequal. By the time Brown got to the Supreme Court, the legal arguments against segregation were a lot stronger, and the court was ready to really deal with the issue.
It's fascinating how a dissenting opinion, you know, just one voice at the time, could end up being so influential in shaping legal history. It shows the power of a well-reasoned argument, even if it doesn't win right away.
Exactly. Harlan's dissent reminds us that legal interpretation isn't static. It can and should evolve to reflect a more just and equitable understanding of the Constitution. It also reminds us about how important dissenting voices are, how important it is to challenge the status quo, even when it seems impossible.
Yeah, it really shows that the law, it's not set in stone, right? It's constantly being reinterpreted.
And Plessy, it's a big reminder of how the courts can get things wrong, you know, how giving in to prejudice and social norms can have really bad consequences. It shows how important it is for the courts and for lawyers like you to protect everyone's rights, especially those who are marginalized and vulnerable.
So we know Plessy was overturned. Segregation's illegal now.
Right.
But why is this case still relevant today? I mean, it's been over 100 years.
Well, Plessy might be gone, but its legacy, it goes way beyond Jim Crow. The case makes us ask some important questions about how we deal with systemic inequality, the kind that isn't, you know, written directly into law.
That's a good point. We don't have separate but equal laws anymore, but we still see differences in things like education, healthcare, even the criminal justice system. Issues like implicit bias and racial profiling, they show that the fight for real equality isn't over.
Absolutely. Plessy forces us to look deeper, to see how laws or policies that seem neutral can actually keep inequality going. It challenges us to examine how our history is still shaping our present, even in ways we don't always see.
So, for our listener who's studying for the bar, what's the most important thing you want them to take away from Plessy v. Ferguson? What can they learn from it for their own legal practice?
I'd say the biggest takeaway is this. Legal precedent, even from the highest court, it can be wrong. Plessy shows how the law can be used for both good and bad. It's our job as legal professionals, as you could say, guardians of the law, to think critically, to question assumptions, and to use our knowledge to fight for a fairer society. Understanding cases like Plessy helps us see how the law can be twisted to support oppression and how we can work to dismantle those systems.
That's a powerful thought to end on. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into Plessy v. Ferguson. It's been a fascinating, if a little bit heavy, look at a truly important case.
It's been great being here. And remember, understanding our legal history, even the hard parts, is essential for creating a better future.
And to our listener getting ready for the bar exam, good luck. We hope this deep dive gave you some insights you can take with you into the exam and beyond. Keep asking those tough questions. Keep pushing for a more just world and never stop learning.